Hey folks, Dan Frio here with your market update for February 10th, 2025. So I'm going to say it this way. This is going to be a recap of what's happening this week because we have a little bit of a light agenda for the next 2 days. And then we start getting inflation numbers, the consumer inflation and producer inflation later this week. What's coming this week down the pike. And then I'll give you my take on what I expect to happen and the whys behind it. So let's get over to it. Mortgage rates ticked up just a hair the other day. We were in the 6% ranges. Are we going to get back there? Well, that's our hopes and that's our thoughts. So let's get over and see if there's any news this week that might bring the rates back down in line to maybe make it a little bit more affordable if you're looking to buy that refinance. So let's get over to the news that we're going to see this week. Right through here, consumer inflation expectations, that's going to be a nothing burger when it comes to the news. When we go down through here, it's going to be only on Tuesday, we're only going to have two members of the Fed talking. And again, you have to pay attention. Are these people doves or hawks? Because if they're hawks, they're going to come out and say, well, rates need to go up. Inflation's coming back in check, so we can basically start to reduce rates. So that's the yin and yang behind a lot of this. So we're gonna pay attention on that. But then here's when the data starts to come in. On Wednesday, we have the CPI. The CPI is the inflation number that you and I watch. It's consumer inflation. That's the C on the front of the CPI. And then the next day, we have what's called the PPI. Thursday, what PPI is producer. So think of the CPI, the C on the front is consumer. And then on the PPI, the P on the front of that is producer. So the thought is if producer inflation goes up some, well, it's probably going to push over to the consumer. So that's what we're going to focus in on. But right through here, let's get over to the expectations. The core CPI, let me explain to you what these are, because there's several. They're the core CPI MOM. Then we have core CPI YOY. Then we have CPI MOM. Then we have CPI YOY. What is all this? Well, what the core means is they strip out food and energy. Okay, because you notice how, like, gas prices. I bitch about gas prices a lot. I'm like, okay, on my way to work, it was, you know, $3. On my way home, it's $3.50. What in the world's going on? Well, that's the reason why they strip out food and energy, because it's really volatile. Of the other stuff that as consumers we partake in. That's that part of it. So that's what it is. MOM means month over month. So what's the increase, you know, from last month to this month? And then YOY means year over year. Okay, so here's the expectations. On the core side, is expected, last reading was 0.2, expected to go up a tad to 0.3. They don't have the year over year here. But if you look over the year over year on CPI, just in general, they're expecting it to stay sticky. That's what we're getting in on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, we get that PPI, and then on Friday, we get a lot of other mixes on retail sales and stuff like that. So the CPI and the PPI will be market movers. We have the CPI coming out first this week, so we will be focused in on that, because that's telling us, is the consumer inflation starting to come down? That's the biggest pivot point for the Federal Reserve. So let's get over to how the equity markets are doing off of a no burger today. And when it comes to the news, well, up 200 points, NASDAQ up 170. Nice little rally through the markets right now. What we don't like is oil's up a little bit. 10-year treasuries dropping. That's good. It was 4.54 last week, so that's down 7 basis points. The biggest thing right now is tariffs. The Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum. I have a video in my pocket that Nippon Steel, the thing that's in the news right now, the takeover by Japan for the steel mills and so forth. It's basically in the town I grew up. So the last time I drove through town, actually two or three different towns, to show you how basically the town I grew up in, it's called Follansbee, West Virginia. Look it up. It's where Nippon Steel is. And when China dumped steel back in the 80s, it just decimated my community. So I take a drive up and down the river where all the steel mills are, or I'll put it this way, where they used to be. And now it's just a lot of land, abandoned buildings, and just rusted out steel buildings. So is that going to be revived? Well, maybe that President Trump's doing might revive the manufacturing industry. We hope so in that context. So that's what we're seeing right through here. Guys, I lived it, so I'll share that those videos with you. I'm trying to get an editor to do it, so it makes it a little more fancy than when I just do it. So that's the news that's coming out today. The first thing I thought when I saw this, that those tariffs are going to be popped, I'm like, oh man, that's not good news for the equity markets or the bond markets. But we see a positive each way. So we have a across, and we have, like I said, on the Dow Jones, those indices are skyrocketing right now. So let's get over to a one quick take on here. This is how these tariffs, how important are they going to be, and how devastating are they going to be to our inflation numbers? Well, let's take a view over here. This is a young lady in China, actually, giving her comments about the tariffs and what to expect down the road. So let's get over.
Imposing retaliatory tariffs right now on the United States, hitting billions of dollars worth of goods and energy resources. I want to get straight over to Eunice Yoon this morning. She is in Beijing with a report from what's happening on the ground there. What are they saying?
Well, Andrew, those Chinese counter tariffs are now in effect. But they probably aren't going to be meaningfully damaging to American businesses because they are limited. Unlike President Trump's tariffs, which have been blanketed all over the Chinese companies, these ones from China are targeted. Goldman Sachs estimates that the Chinese levies cover $14 billion of U.S. exports to China. So that's only about 10% of the overall amount of goods that the U.S. Shipped to China last year. But what we do need to watch is any signs that China is willing to retaliate in very different ways. Unlike President Trump's first term, the Chinese have already been signaling that they're willing to single out individual companies. Over a week ago, as part of these countermeasures, China announced that it's investigating Google on antitrust allegations, also blacklisting Illumina, as well as PVH. And then last December, it also launched an antitrust investigation into NVIDIA. And then, of course, late last week, there were some reports that the antitrust watchdog was considering investigating Apple as well on those antitrust grounds. So in addition to that, now the Wall Street Journal has been reporting that that strategy by China could be expanded to include Broadcom and Synopsys. The Chinese government today dismissed that report, but this is really a widespread concern here that was bubbling up, especially when President Trump was coming into office. People were concerned that the Chinese could use this as a way to push back on President Trump. Guys?
We will see. We will see what happens here. We appreciate it. I just question, what is the sentiment from folks about this, just generally, if you talk to people on the street, do they talk about it?
They do talk about it, of course, in private. But people are also signaling how they're feeling by what they're doing with their money. For example, we have been, over the past couple of weeks, seeing more and more people deciding to switch their money into U.S. dollars, switching money into gold. A lot of them are really concerned about protecting their wealth because they are worried about what's happening here economically speaking, but also what those tariffs by President Trump could mean to the economy.
So this is also the area where you might hear they flee to safety. So here's what flee to safety is, if you hear that term. So if you have concerns anywhere in the world, usually here's what happens in the stock market in the United States. In the past, when we went to war, like Desert Storm and things like that, what happened immediately, the stock market would plummet and bond yields would get much better because people would just rush into bonds because that was a safe haven. So this might be another reason why you're starting to see yields or the bond market moving a little bit, and that's right through here. So this is what we follow on this channel. So right through here, if people are getting out of stocks, especially in Chinese stocks and things like that, and they want to put it into something, they're going to put it in the U.S. stock market or they're going to put it in U.S. bonds. And right through here, this is where you're starting to see mortgage rates are actually tied to a mortgage bond. And this is what we follow through here on the channel. So here's what's happening behind the scenes. This is the mortgage bond that trades on Wall Street. And this is what we follow on a daily basis because I'm actually a mortgage loan officer. I'll give you all my information at the end of this video. Sorry about that. I'll give you all my information at the end of this video because my slogan here is one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan over 30 different lenders. Now, how do we do that? Well, if you're intrigued, I'll give you all my information at the end of this video. I'd love to work with you. So that's what we're seeing right now in the bond market. I already went over what's going on in the stock market, so we're not seeing any changes, major changes here. Okay, so let's get over and see what the Federal Reserve is looking at. So we go over to the, basically this is the economy at a glance. So a lot of these figures figures have been filled in over the last couple weeks. Okay, so we know the federal funds rate. This is what the Federal Reserve, they actually control. This is the only interest rate they control. Okay, right through here. And I'll give you that, I'll give you a little bit of a tidbit on this here in a second. But we had this PCE, the inflation number that the Federal Reserve most focuses in on, and that just came out the other day, and it's at 2.6. Well, it was down to 2.1, and then we moved 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Now we're up to 2.6. I thought this was going to be the catalyst to bringing rates up higher and higher and higher, but it wasn't. The market just swished through there, went to the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate the other day went down, actually down to 4%. So that we have a good labor market right through here. Inflation is upticked some, but a lot of this data is lagging. So even the people on the Federal Reserve are saying, you know, when the housing data actually, when the lagging numbers from housing actually catches up, this number should be at 2%. And that's what we're hearing from a lot of Fed officials. So that's what we're saying right through there. And then GDP, it's still a positive 2.3, which is fantastic. It was 3.1 earlier, and it ticked down a little bit, but we have positive GDP, unemployment rate at 4, which is historically, you know, right in line, and the inflation numbers that they're saying are coming down, and we'll have more of that data, like I said, on my calendar when we get the CPI on Wednesday, and we get the PPI on Thursday. So those are the numbers we're going to really focus in on. So now let's get over to the CME FedWatch tool. What is expected from the Fed? Now the Fed's really not expected to do anything until July. So this FedWatch tool tells us what the Federal Reserve is going to do over the next, well, let's say all the way through the end of December of 2020. Is this a 28 or 26? 26. My apologies. So the end of 2026. So they're saying at the end of this year, December of 2025, we're probably going to be at a rate of 4 to 4.25 on the federal funds rate. So what does that mean? Well, that means there's only maybe one cut that we're going to be seeing here soon. So this can change on a dime, so folks. So that's why I need you to kind of focus in on every day. Just come back, watch about 10, 15 minutes. You'll get the gist of what the market's doing. So that's the report for today so far. There's really not a lot of economic news coming out. So first thing first, my due diligence to you guys out there. If you're looking to buy a car, or if you're watching this channel, you might be looking to buy a house. I need you to do one big thing. And it doesn't matter if you're going to use me or you're buying a car, and I don't do car loans, but go to and stop what's called trigger leads. Okay, so here's what happens. When somebody calls in and they apply for it, and that credit information is actually sold from the credit agencies, not me. Okay, so I'm not the fault on this, but I get a lot of blame from consumers. That's why I'm doing my consumer, you know, diligence here. Go to optoutprescreener.com. Here's what happens is, remember how you don't like getting phone calls from everybody and anybody, solicitors? There's the do not call list. Well, now they have a do not sell my financial data list, and it's right through here. It's called optoutprescreener.com. Go to it, scroll down to the bottom, fill in your information, and hopefully this system works better than the do not call list, and this will stop you. So now, who am I and what do I do? Well, my name is Dan Frio. I'm actually a nationwide mortgage loan officer, and that's really odd. I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. Here's the unique thing about it. There's only a couple different banks in the whole country that do this, and I'm actually with one of them, and I just joined another one just actually today. So if you're concerned, you have a loan in the process with me right now, don't worry about it. It's all taken care of. But going forward from today on, I moved companies. And I moved into a different role, which is a better role for you guys. I'm going to have more flexibility on products, pricing, interest rate, fees, all that other stuff. But the good news is I'm still at a place where it's one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan to over 30 different lenders. Yes, how do we do that? Well, reach out to me. I'd love to help. First off, there's three ways to reach out to me. You can hit the Apply Now button. It's right up through there. Or you can schedule a consultation with me or Alan. It's right through here. So I'm going to be setting these up today with the new information. So way to get us right now for probably the next couple days, just scroll down to the bottom of our website and give us a call. Our number is 844-775-5626, or reach me personally. And this is what I would highly suggest you do. Either call us at the 800 number or email me directly at dan@therateupdate.com. Please leave your question, information, your name, your phone number, contacts, how you want me to reach out to you. I'd love to help you if you're out there looking to buy that first house. Maybe you're looking to buy that first investment property, or rates are down now. We've talked to several people that are in the rates. And now even rates in the low sevens are helping those people out quite a bit. So if you're in that situation and need some help, please reach out to us. We'd love to help and take advantage of that one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan over 30 different lenders. Now, if you can do this on your own and you're like, Dan, I know everything about the mortgage business. I just want the lowest rate in the whole country. Well, guys, God bless you and good luck to you. I'd love to review your loan estimate if you want me to. And I'll get back with you on that. And if we can maybe beat that, hopefully you'll use us. So reach out to us today. I'd love for you to be a subscriber as well. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that right down below. Otherwise, I'll be back here at the closing bell to let you know how all this mess ends for the day. Take care, folks. See you then. Bye-bye.